mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire, and in darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. Oh, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yeah. 'Cause your goodness is running after, it's running after me. And your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now, I give you everything. 'Cause your goodness is running after, it's running after me. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. With all my life, and all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Amen. I know that's new for some of us, but I tell you, those words are so great. Especially as the years go on, we can sing that, right? And all my life you have been faithful, and he is. Well, this last one is one much more familiar to us all, number 23. And I think let's stand as we sing this, 23, In Christ Alone. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my strength, my song, this cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still Be seated. Thank you. Thank you, Jennifer. Well, good morning. On a beautiful morning. A very beautiful morning it is, and this is the day that the Lord has made. It's good to see you all here this morning. Some announcements I have, of course, before we go on. First of all, Marina is under the weather. Marina Schaefer, who in your bulletin says is to be our pianist, so Jennifer's filling in. The praise choruses, we changed all those, but the hymns are the same except the last one. So if you're visiting, we had a lightning strike this spring early that took out the screen and a lot of our sound equipment. And you, if any of you deal with trying to get electronic parts, you know the story. So some of the stuff is in. Some, they're telling maybe the end of October. One component, a major component, longer, but we're praying it will come sooner than what they think. So another. Thankfully, we have our praise book and we have our hymnals, so we're good to go, right? So, some announcements. We have contemporary service this evening at 7 o'clock. It's going to be a time of worship and prayer, and if you have some special prayer needs, there will be time for that as well, that we would pray with you. We have coffee hour after church this morning, so in the social hall. Hopefully you can stay and join us for that. Big thanks to Alan and Carrie Dyke for coordinating that month by month. We thank them. Confirmation parents will be starting on September 7th, that Wednesday, but we're going to have a meeting today after church. So just once everybody's ushered out, well, if you want to go through and get your snack, you can sure do that. And then we'll meet in the back pews just for 10 minutes or so, 10 or 15 minutes, I suppose. Sunday school kickoff, just so we are aware of that, is 3 weeks from today on September 11th, and that is when we go back to 10:30 church, Sunday school starting at 9:15. So always an exciting day, probably potluck dinner to follow, I'm assuming. And teachers and Christian Ed, make sure you see the announcement about our meetings this Wednesday night at 6:30 and 7:30. Just a couple other things. Women's Bible study, going to be doing one on Amos. And if you'd like to order the workbook, you should sign up today. They hope to order those on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday. They need to order those. Last announcement that I have, the banquet in Yankton, which we served just a couple weeks ago, they're having their 25th anniversary this summer, basically. So this Thursday is August 25th, and they're celebrating their 25th anniversary. It's going to be, the banquet will be served down at Riverside Park under shelter number 3, whichever one that is, between 5:30 and 7. So this is for everybody, whoever would like to go. If you've had a part in the banquet, maybe it'd be nice to go. It'd be nice to have some representatives from the congregation here. So Shelter 3, Riverside Park, Thursday night from 5:30 to 7, a picnic. But they are providing. You don't have to bring anything except yourself. Let's bow our heads, please, in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne today once again, it is with joy and excitement in our hearts, also with humility as we humble ourselves before you and under your mighty hand. What a privilege that we can come and fellowship with you, you as our God, our Father, our Creator, and we as your children on this earth. Thank you, Father, for your Lord, for your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that it is in Christ alone that we live and move and have our being, that you hold us in the palm of your hand as we've just sung from life's first cry to final breath. You are the one, Father, who commands our destiny. As the song says, no power of hell, no scheme of man could ever pluck us from your hand, for it is in you that we live and stand and move. You give us life and breath to live on this earth. You give us life to praise you and to witness for you. And so we thank you as we ask for your presence and power to fill this place once again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand as we sing our opening hymn. In the hymnal, it's number 793, For the Beauty of the Earth. For the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For the wonder of each hour, of the day and of the night, hill and vale and tree and flower, sun and moon and stars of light, Lord our double to thee we raise, this our hymn of grateful praise, for thy church that evermore lifteth holy hands above, offering up on every shore her pure sacrifice of love. Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise, for thy selfless gift divine to our race so freely given, for that great, great love of thine, peace on earth and joy in heaven. Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. Amen. Amen. Well, take a moment, greet those around you, please, before you're seated. Okay, good to see everyone this morning. Prayer time for joys and concerns. First, our prayers have been all this week for Pastor Andy Bieber from Scotland Community Church. And I know we have some couples here, Marvin and Agnes Toome. Good to see you. And Linda and Michael Kreneisel back there too. I've been in touch with Sally. Maybe if you have more updates than me, but sounds like the surgery went well. This was to repair an aortic aneurysm, and they did have to replace that heart valve, put a mechanical valve in. I texted Sally this morning, and she said he's doing okay. They're just trying to get the rhythm going, I think, for the heart, was last I heard. Any other updates? Okay. So prayers for Pastor Andy and the congregation during this time. Also, Mark Kirschman, previously from here, went to school here. A lot of you probably know about their motorcycle accident this last, was it Sunday or Monday? Or anyway, but his wife, last Saturday, his wife Carrie lost her life in that accident, and the funeral was Friday. So prayers for them. Mark's dad was Dale Kirschman, lived west of the cemetery over there on that farm. Also, these two girls that we've been praying for, Kaylin Salas from Freeman, 14-year-old girl that had that liver transplant, she did pass this last Tuesday. So prayers for her parents and family, and also this little baby, Evelyn Johnson, from the Freeman area as well, that was born very premature, also went home to heaven that same day. So both very difficult times for those families. Orville Huber would be from Freeman, Cleo Kepsch's brother, Connie Kirschman's first cousin, I believe. He passed away last night. He had been in the Freeman Care Center. Prayers for them. Katie Huber's mom, Jan Nebelsek, starts her chemotherapy tomorrow treatment, so we lift her up in prayer. That's what I had written down. So anything else over here? Okay, kids are all back in school for 3 days so far. How about over here? Okay, well, let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the moisture that you brought the last couple days and the weekend before. Lord, it all helps, and we are truly grateful for it. And we continue to thank you for more that you will bring in your time. And Father, as we always pray for the natural rain to your creation, all the more we pray for the rain of the Spirit, the spiritual rain that we so desperately need for our nation. spiritually, we are in a drought, and we have been. And Father, you are the one who can pour out your Spirit upon us. And we need that, and we ask you for it, and we thank you by faith for what you are doing that we don't even see yet. Through the halls of our government, nationally and across the states, bring revival. Return the hearts and lives and minds of the people to you and to your word, to see the laws that you have laid down from the very beginning, laws for our good and our protection. Lord Jesus, we pray for our world, the same, the very same as we watch the news and see the situations around the globe of desperation. Jesus, you are the hope of the nations. We know that your word proclaims it. So we thank you for working and moving as only you can do. As we pray for our nation, we pray for our troops that serve so faithfully here at home and abroad. Be with all of them. Keep them safe. Be with the military leaders and commanders and guide them in their decisions. Be with our president and congressmen and women. As your word says, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and you turn it. Father, that's your word. You turn it whithersoever way you will, and we trust you in that. Lord, we pray for these families who've lost loved ones within the past week. The Mark Kirschman family, we lift them up. The family of Kaylin Salas and the little baby, Evelyn Johnson, and the family of Orville Huber. Father, as we're going to see today and as your word says, you are the God of all comfort. And we ask for comfort to these families especially, but any others who need your comfort as they walk through trials and challenges. We pray for Jan Nebelsek and her family as she starts chemo tomorrow. And thank you for your healing through her body. For others who are in the same battle, similar battle with cancer, we lift them up as well and ask for your healing power to work mightily. Jesus, you are a great physician. We trust you in this. We pray for Marina Schaefer and ask for your healing touch to her body as well. Thank you for our school children and college students going back this past weekend, for all of our teachers and staff at the schools in our surrounding area, as well as Menno. We ask your hand of protection upon them all, the bus drivers, Lord, the cooks, just every part of the life of our local schools, the administration. Guide them and lead them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to read from Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 and 25. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for me will find it." Amen. We're going to sing the Lord's Prayer this morning instead of the doxology, so if you'd stand, please. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be. Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for Thine Thank you, Father, for your goodness, your provision in so many ways, ways that we couldn't imagine or even expect. You are the God who is more than enough, El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. And help us to live for you, Jesus, every day. Help us, as you said, to deny ourselves, to deny the lusts of the flesh that can seem so strong, to deny those things and take up the cross and live for you each and every day. For we know then it is that we truly find life, life eternal even as we live on this earth. So we bring our offerings, our tithes into this storehouse by faith with joyful hearts, cheerful givers, thanking you for your provision that helps us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ far and wide. In Jesus' name we pray. And Father, we do confess our faith before you together through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. The children would come, please, for Kingdom Kids time.
Thank you. Well, good morning, boys and girls. Oh, how are you today? Good. Did you have a good week? Good. I'm so glad. It's so good to see you all up here. Well, I got a couple of questions. Okay, you guys got to listen, okay? All right. I got a couple of questions. Have you ever gone, like, on a sleepover, spend the night with somebody, and you really missed maybe your mom or dad or something? Have you ever done that? Yeah. How about, have you ever gone to camp, Swan Lake? You were gone for maybe longer time and you missed your family and your toys or whatever? You guys didn't miss your parents? No, you probably went to a day camp, right? Yeah, that's really great. Well, sometimes when we do go somewhere and we're not near maybe our parents, we can take something with us to remind us of home and of them, right? We can take, like, this comforter. Do you guys all have a comforter, a blanket that you really like? Oh, I really like mine. It's nice and warm. And I know preschoolers, you get to have a blanket at school, right? And it comforts you and it helps you to remember that about your mom and your dad or your family and that you're going to see them very soon. Sometimes when we go away, we might take a toy. Do you ever take a favorite toy or a stuffed animal? And that helps you to comfort you and helps you to remember who you're missing. Do you ever do that? When you go to sleepovers, do you take something? Yeah. Yeah. Guess whose this is?
Monkey.
Nope.
A girl.
No, whose is it? Who owns it? Well, I have it now, but it was Rachel's. Yeah, it was Rachel's. Yeah, she liked monkeys. Okay. And you know, sometimes people go away from us. Like, my dad was in the Army, and I remember a time when I was like, I think, fourth or fifth grade, and he had to go over to Vietnam, and it was like for a year. And so I really missed him, but I had his picture and our family picture to remind me of him and to comfort me and to help me remember he's coming home. Do you know which one I am? This one. That was when I was littler. This one, I know you guys can't see. I'll put it out on the bench later. So these things help us to remember that those people that we love, they're going to come back to us, or we're going to come back to them. Or if they've gone on to heaven, then we're going to see them one day. Do you know what? Jesus did the same thing, something similar to us. Before he died, he told his disciples that he was going to send them a special helper. Remember, he was crucified, he died, he was buried, he rose again, he stayed around, and then he went to where?
Heaven.
But he said, even though he would be gone, they wouldn't see him, he would send another helper, the Holy Spirit, to comfort us. In John 14:16, Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, the comforter. He will be with you, and he's with us forever and ever. We are never alone, like I told you last week. You don't go to school alone. And yeah, this message wasn't just for the disciples. It's for us too, to know that he is our comforter. He lives inside of us. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they live inside of us and they can comfort us. Here's some things he can do. He can help us pray. I'm going to tell you a true story that just happened on Friday. I was at school, I was substituting, and I was out on recess, and do you remember that the second recess in the afternoon, the weather had changed? Remember, it was even sprinkling a little bit, remember? And there were clouds, were dark, and they were moving in. So I was standing by this tree with some kids trying to get a little bit of warmth. And this boy was there. And he said, Miss Ann, look at that sky. What's happening? What's going to happen? And I looked up and I said, well, it might rain, might storm, but we're going to be okay. And right away, do you know what he said? He said, I'm going to pray. And right here in front of these kids, he folded his hands, he closed his eyes, and he was praying. And so then I prayed out loud for that, for the storm, and to protect us. And then when I was done, this little boy said, I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep praying. And I tell you what, that's the Holy Spirit, Jesus, inside of us that helps us to do that. Isn't that pretty awesome? That is pretty awesome. We can all do that. Not only that, he can guide us. He can help us to know what's right, what's wrong. Do the right thing, don't do the wrong thing, because he lives inside of us. He also, like I said, he will he will comfort us. He will help us to feel better. He does that when we read his Bible, when we listen to somebody at church and your Sunday school teachers. When you pray, you know he's with you. He will guide you. He will comfort you. He loves you so much. When you're in the worship service, you can feel his presence. He's always at work. Okay? So the Holy Spirit, Jesus, there are what? Comforter. What is he? Our comforter. Whatever comfort you need, he is. Okay? Ask him. Help me, Holy Spirit. All right. Let's pray. Ready? Fold our hands. Close your eyes. Father, we love you so much. We're so grateful again. You just gave us the Holy Spirit, and he's such a wonderful, just so wonderful to be living inside of us. You, Jesus, you, God, the three. Three is one. And we just thank you that these boys and girls, even at young ages, can know that, can feel your presence, can lead them, you can guide them and comfort them. Help us all to be like this boy who prayed right away without any hindrance. And we thank you for blessing these kids and letting their light shine all wherever they are, at school or at home, at the daycare, with parents, grandparents. Help them also to comfort others like you've comforted us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can get your papers.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Anne. I'll tell you this much, that little boy was sitting right up here this morning. That's pretty amazing. When Ann told me that Friday afternoon, I just had tears in my eyes. Parents, you're doing a wonderful job bringing your kids here, and that happens at home too, for a little guy to do that. 389 in your hymnal, 389, we'll sing Spirit of the Living God. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Soul of heaven, heart of God, wash over me. Soul of heaven, heart of God, wash over me. Cleanse me, teach me, hold me, reach me. Soul of heaven, heart of God, watch over me. Holy presence, love divine, cast out my fear. Holy presence, love divine, cast out my fear. Shield me, free me, call me, lead me. Holy presence, love divine, cast out my fear. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, we thank you that you did not leave us as orphans. When Jesus returned back to heaven, that's what you said, Jesus. I will give you another helper, one just like you, and that is the Spirit of the living God. And thank you, Father, for your amazing plan that you could live inside of us. Truly incredible. And we thank you that as we dwell in your presence, as we look in your word, that you do your work in us day by day. Lord, melt us down, those things that are not right. Melt them away. Mold us. Fill us afresh every day with your Spirit. And use us. That is our prayer. And I ask, Father, that you'd speak through me by your Spirit this morning to all that are gathered here. Help us to be ever more aware of your Spirit within us every moment of every day. In Jesus' name, amen. We are in 2 Corinthians this morning, chapter 7. For those visiting first time with us this summer, I've been doing a series on the Holy Spirit. So this is actually about the fifth sermon. They are on YouTube and on the website. I think most of these probably are on there. There was quite a time we weren't able to have any services on, but we do record on the iPad now, so in a day or two, they will be there. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 2 through 7. The Apostle Paul speaking, "Make room for us in your hearts. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have exploited no one. I do not say this to condemn you. I have said before that you have such a place in our hearts that we would live or die with you. I have great confidence in you. I take great pride in you. I am greatly encouraged. In all our troubles, my joy knows no bounds. For when we came into Macedonia, this body of ours had no rest. But we were harassed at every turn, conflicts on the outside, fears within. but God. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the comfort you had given him. He told us of your longing for me, your deep sorrow, your ardent concern for me, so that my joy was greater than ever. Amen. That's all the further I'm going today. We'll talk more about the context of this as we get into the message. But the work of the Holy Spirit. You've got an outline in your bulletin if you want to fill in blanks there. That is our theme, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives as believers. And do we ever need that? All the more in these days. So we've looked at the fact that he is our counselor. I can't go back into that because I won't finish what I have for today. But he's our counselor. And we saw in there's two passages, John 14, John 16, the night before the cross, when Jesus is instructing the disciples about the Holy Spirit who would come to them. And in the Greek, there is a sevenfold meaning of the Holy Spirit. That's in your outline there too. All this he does for you. He's your helper, your comforter, your counselor, your advocate, your intercessor, your strengthener, your standby. We're going to go through probably most of those, I believe. Today, though, we're starting on this. He is your comforter. That's who he is. And the verses in the meditation of your bulletin bring that out. That is one of his attributes, as really all of these things are, the characteristics, the attributes of God, of his Spirit. Listen to verse 3 and 4 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. There's your blank. He is the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others in any trouble that they have. This is who he is. So in each of these points, I guess we have to look at, okay, how does he comfort us? We did this with the fact of him being our counselor the last couple weeks. How does he counsel us? Number one, through his word. That's always going to be number one, through his word. So how does he comfort us? Number one, by his word. I'm not going to spend too much time on that because I want to get to the second part of it more today. But let's think of Psalm chapter 23, a very good verse to prove that out. Verse 4, I'm going to have a point where you're going to fill in the blank, and you ought to know it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort. Oh, good. You guys were good right there. Let's try it one more time. Thy rod and thy staff, they
comfort.
Right. They do. What's his rod and his staff? That is speaking of his word. Both of those. The shepherd had that staff. We bring them out at Christmas Eve, right? Usually they had that crook on the end of it. There was that type of staff. There was a shorter, firmer staff too. One of thy rod, the shorter version of it, was to fend off the wild animals, the bears, the lions, I don't know if they had coyotes in Israel then, but we got them here, don't we? To fend them off. And the longer version with the crook was all to lay more gently on the back. If the sheep were getting out of line, going the wrong way, and the shepherd would reach out with that long staff to sort of bring them in. I saw that with the Navajos many times. That's exactly what they did. I never saw them have to fend off a mountain lion, even though there were mountain lions out there, but as far as the other part, I saw that it could be with that crook on the end. You know, Israel is a land of rocks and cliffs and canyons, and sometimes they'd get on the edge of somewhere and they'd get stuck. And the shepherd, if especially it was a younger one, could lift that lamb off of that ledge back to safety. So by his word, he comforts us. And we got to know that. When we're struggling, I think we all know that. It's best to take time, open up the scriptures, Book of Psalms, great comfort there. But throughout God's Word, through the New Testament, just start reading it. And you will find God speaking to you very clearly. So what I want to focus on more today is, though, the second way he comforts us is through other believers. And that is a very big way of how he does this. Through other believers. That's number two, if you're filling in. I'm going to come back down to that, but we're going to talk about the context of 2 Corinthians here in a moment. But listen to the verses I read. Paul was talking there to the church at Corinthians. When we came into Macedonia, this is on his third missionary journey, by the way. If you were with us last Sunday, I had that map even. We were on his second missionary journey. Can't go back through all that today. He said, this body of ours had no rest. We were harassed at every turn. They were being attacked. Conflicts on the outside, fears from within, but God. I love that when the Bible says that. But God, say that. But God, yes. Who comforts the downcast. That's what he does. He loves to do that. He comforted us by the coming of Titus. Titus was a young man that Paul had led to the Lord sometime in the past. He was eventually going to be the pastor on the island of Crete, which was down further off the coast of Corinth. God comforted us by the coming of Titus, a Christian brother. We got to know, especially all the more in these days that we are living, as we come, we are in the last days, as we come closer to the last of the last days, which we are, obviously, every day is a day closer, but as we look at the signs of the times and things, I'm telling you, you better be ready. You had better be ready. For number one, the rapture of the church. That's the next event when we're going to be out of here in a moment. And then comes the tribulation of 7 years. And then comes the second coming of Jesus Christ, where he returns on the Mount of Olives to Jerusalem. The rapture, he returns in the clouds. And we are caught up with him. Thessalonians says to meet him in the air. In the air, changed in a moment. That could be today. Literally, it could be today. All right. That's not my message, though. As the persecution against the church increases, and it is, and it's going to. I'm not trying to be doomsday, but you got to realize it is. Look at the world. It is. We need each other all the more to stand strong together. So, 2 Corinthians and 1 Corinthians, I just got to tell you, some of you like the history part of it. So I'm not trying to get too technical here, but you need to know this, why Paul needed to be comforted. One of the main reasons. So this is, you got some little blanks in there to fill in. Number one, so on Paul's second missionary journey, which is where we were last Sunday, his second missionary journey, that's when he went down further past Philippi and planted that church, founded it in Corinth, okay, AD 51 and 52. Second point, so during his third missionary journey, remember, he's going back to churches. This time he comes to Ephesus and he stays there for 3 years. That's quite a while. He stayed at Corinth, by the way, for a year and a half, 18 months. The Bible tells us that. The Bible tells us he stayed at Ephesus for 3 years. During that 3 years, there was someone or a couple people probably from the church at Corinth that came over to Ephesus. They had to cross the Aegean Sea. It wasn't just, oh, let's just go to Olivet. I hear the Apostle Paul is there. No, you had to cross the Aegean Sea to get over there to Ephesus because they had questions for Paul. They were a brand new church. There were things that were going sort of wrong there, a lot of things that were going wrong there, and they needed answers. So Paul writes the letter of 1 Corinthians. If you look through that, there's lots of things he addresses to them. One, the Lord's Supper. They were got way out of hand. People were coming for the Lord's Supper and they were drunk. Can you imagine? There were things wrong in idolatry. There were things wrong with sexual immorality. And he was addressing all of those things in that letter. Third point on that, this context part. During that 3 years, after he wrote that letter, gave it to that church, he actually himself goes down to Corinth for a brief visit to see if things have improved. And actually, in many ways, they had gotten worse, much to his disappointment. And he refers to that in the letter of 2 Corinthians as his painful visit. His painful visit. How would you like it here if a former pastor came back or any church that you're a part of, and maybe he tried to correct things, and then he left for a time, and he comes back, and he refers to that visit to that church as a painful visit. That would be sort of rough, wouldn't it? Yeah. He was upset. You got to realize, see, we call this in the realm of the Spirit, he gave birth by the Spirit of God to this church at Corinth. That was one of his babies. You women, you know, you carry that little one in your womb for 9 months, and then finally the baby is born, and we get to see that little one, and that's your baby. As we refer to you ladies as Mama Bear, right? And Mama Bear can be very protective, and rightly so. And so at the church, Paul had spent 18 months at Corinth giving birth to that church. And so this was very hard for him to witness what was happening. The fourth point under that part. So he has that painful visit, he calls it 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. As he's writing his second letter, listen to what he says to this church after this brief visit. I made up my mind that I would not make another painful visit to you. How about that? Well, he's just letting them have it. So when he gets back to Corinth, he writes another letter to them in between 1 and 2 Corinthians that it was not preserved. We know it happened according to Scripture, but it was not preserved. We don't have it today, but it was called his severe letter. I mean, this one was pounding the fist on the pulpit hard. He was upset. Chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians, verse 4, is where he refers to it. Listen, I wrote you, this is that severe letter, I wrote you out of great distress and anguish of heart and with many tears, not to grieve you, but to let you know the depth of my love for you. Sometimes that's how it has to be, isn't it? The depth of our love, we got a large part of the world that just thinks, oh, love means anything goes. Anything goes, whatever you want to do, the craziness of it all that we see all around us. Oh, love, love, love. If you try to say anything, that is wrong. According to God's word, that's wrong. And nowadays, oh, you're a hater. You are a hater. No, it's because of God's love that we correct, and he corrects us by his word. That's what Paul was doing. Last point in this context part. So Paul is led then to write the letter of 2 Corinthians. This is after Titus goes to that church then, and he sees after that severe letter, they had repented. That church had repented of much of their sin and changed. See, the part of the problem was there were these false teachers coming in, leading them astray, challenging Paul's authority, saying he didn't have a right to be over them as an apostle, and turning the church against him. That was all the distress of his heart. So much going on. When he gets this message that they had repented, that's when he turns and writes the letter of 2 Corinthians to them. That verse 6 again, 2 Corinthians 7, but God, who comforts the downcast. If you're downcast today, then God is here to comfort you. Always, He is with you. Who comforts the downcast. He comforted us. How? By the coming of Titus, another fellow believer. There's times, yes, we go to God, but there are times we just need somebody that we can feel and touch and have a hug from and have them pray for us one-on-one together. And there is nothing wrong for asking for that from your friend, your prayer partner, people in the church, other Christians that you know. That's a very important part of our lives as believers. Verse 7 of 2 Corinthians, chapter 7, verse 7. Paul said, we are comforted by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the comfort you, the Corinth church, had given him. How did they give him comfort? They received the severe letter from Paul that very likely he might have delivered himself. They were cut to the heart. We have sinned greatly. He told us, going on in that verse 7, in other words, Titus, coming back to the Apostle Paul, Titus told us about three things. And I'm just going to touch on those sort of briefly here. Three things. He told us, the church of Corinth, about your longing for me, Paul's saying. He told us, Paul, about the church's deep sorrow. What's that? We'll talk about it. He told us about your ardent concern. Ardent, not a word we use a lot today. We'll talk about that for me. So that what? My joy was greater than ever. Paul, the great apostle Paul, he needed comfort too. In this world, in the age we're living, the craziness of things all around, the body of Christ has got to stand together. We have to. Yes, there's still differences in things because we're not perfect and we get off in the lusts and works of the flesh, but we gotta let our love for Christ prevail through other believers. All right, let's first thing, letter A, if you're filling in. He said, you're longing for me. You're longing for me. What was, Paul was at the point of what had gone on with this church in his mind, and we all have this. It happens to us all in different ways. His mindset had become, I think that church, they do not want to see me ever again. And what's going on in his mind? All the sacrifices I gave, those 18 months I was with them, day in and day out. I mean, are they forgetting about all that I did? Right? That happens to us in whatever situation you deal with, of feeling betrayed. I don't think they don't ever want to see me again. They probably don't ever want to hear me preach again. They have totally shunned me. So Titus comes and he says, you know what, Paul? No, that is all not true. They are longing to see you. They love you. Oh, serious? Really? You know how it is for us. Really? We get all this going in our head the opposite way, and the devil helps us with that. Wow. And we need that encouragement. I was thinking about this in a sort of different way, but just going back to the COVID shutdown, you know, those 8 or 10 weeks when we could not meet in person. And I think about that. It's crazy still. It's frustrating to me still. And probably all of us. But as we were coming up to that Easter Sunday of all things, one of the high points in the year of the church, full on the floor and in the balcony, a glorious day, and we could not gather. And it was that Saturday, because we would usually meet on Saturday. Oh, it just, can't have more than 10. No, can't have more than 10. Okay. You know. So, we're getting ready that Saturday. to do the recording so we can upload it YouTube so that everybody on Easter Sunday morning could sit and have a church service at home. And I am not doing well. Makes me tear up just thinking about it. Lord, tomorrow is Easter, Resurrection Day. We can't even gather. And I called somebody that, because I was crying, sitting over here trying to get myself together because I knew people were coming. I got to get myself together so we can pre-record this service. Called somebody from the prayer group. I said, I need you to pray for me if you would right now because I am really struggling. And he did. And praise the Lord, that lifted. We had that recording. And on we went. There was another time during that same stretch. Two different times. Sunday morning, there we're sitting at home. That is no fun. If you think it's fun sitting at home on Sunday morning, it is no fun. Because this is where we're supposed to be. And two times, this guy from our church, a farmer, not going to say the name, calls me, said, Mike, I'm out doing chores. I'm in my tractor, but I'm just thinking about you. I know where you want to be. I do too. I know you're not there. Would you mind if I had a prayer with you? I'm like, yes, I would love that. He said, I'm doing my chores. I can do it while I'm praying. And away he went. Those things mean a lot, don't they? It's how God comforts us through one another. So important. So important. Okay, letter B. Titus is saying to Paul, you know what? I want to tell you about their deep sorrow. The Amplified Bible says, I want to tell you about their mourning over their sin. They realize what they had done, what they've been doing wrong. New Living says, they want me to tell you how sorry they are for what had happened. And I'm sure Paul's just weeping too as Titus is telling him this stuff. Because Paul wept when he wrote that letter, that severe letter. You know, there's times where I've had hard sermons before here. And you know, I go home and I wrestle over that all the rest of the day. I think through it. Oh, Lord, why did I say that? I can't believe I said that. I'm just like, well, I did. Lord, I did. I pray that it all goes okay. Usually it does. Usually it does. This was all part of his struggles. Paul the Apostle, in Acts chapter 18, you have that reference there. If you take time this week, that tells about part of the planting of that church. That chapter 18. And listen, there were struggles, big struggles. He was persecuted. We know everywhere he went. Acts 18, verse 9. Listen, one time in the planting of the church, he was struggling so much. And he records this. He says, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. And God said to him, Paul, do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. If that isn't a word for us today, I don't know what is. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent as we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord of all. For I'm with you. No one's going to attack you and harm you because I have many people in this city. See what happens? Satan tries to get us to think, oh, you're all alone. You are all alone. Nobody cares about you. Everybody's against you. And I've been there many times in the ministry. I know it well. And God says, you are not alone. I have many people in this city who are with you. Amen. All right. Third point, your ardent concern for me. What does that mean? Well, King James says it well, your zeal for me. New Living says it well, your loyal love. How loyal your love is for me. Titus is telling Paul all these things from that church. They long to see you. They have great sorrow. They repented of their sin, and they want you to know they are loyal in their love for you. Because part of the time, their loyalty, these guys had come in and deceived them, and they had switched to this false teaching. And they got back on track with God, His Word, supporting the Apostle Paul. Loyalty in our relationship as brothers and sisters in Christ is very important. Sometimes does that get broken for a time? Yes, sometimes it does. We always pray for restoration, for God to work. Loyalty, something we teach our children. Really has got to be taught to our children as they are growing up. Loyalty to what? To our commitments, to the tasks, the chores they've been assigned, to what's right, to what's wrong, to God and His Word. That is something that is taught and must be taught. Paul ends that verse 7, after all those three things, he says, so that my joy was greater than ever. That's all involved with how he was comforted right there because of the troubles he was facing. So don't ever be afraid to reach out and ask for help, to ask for prayer. Don't ever think, oh, they're too busy. Or, you know, we gotta reach out to each other. And we do. We do. Here's a quote from Alan Jackson, not the country western singer. Isn't that a country western singer? I thought so. I don't listen too much. There's a minister named Alan Jackson. Okay. He said, the church in America is being shaken like never before. This is just a recent, I got an email. It's being shaken like never before from rampant deception and lawlessness to intense cultural pressures to conform and compromise. And that is so true. Because what the culture wants the church to conform, just go along. Just go along with what we want. The world system, just go along. And when we don't, they do not like it. They didn't like it with Jesus. They didn't like it in the early church. They haven't liked it through all the ages. And they sure don't like it today. So we stand together. We have the Holy Spirit living within. He's our comforter, our counselor. Let me pray. Father, I pray that we've been encouraged today by your word, by your spirit. Thank you for living in us again, that you are the greatest. You are God, comforting us by your word, comforting us through fellow believers, brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us to always know that, Lord. Because you live, we can face tomorrow. Thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our closing hymn, oh, it's a beautiful one. 318. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. Let me just read the first phrase of that quick, Jennifer. Let's stand. 318. The first line of this hymn says, there are things as we travel on this earth's shifting sands that transcend all the reason of men. That can be in God's way, yes. It can also be in the world's way. And there are things happening all around us that transcend all the reasons of man. It's like, are you serious? You're kidding me. I'm not going to go into it. Let's sing. Number 318. Transcend all the reason of man. But the things that matter the most in this world, they can never be held in our hand. And I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. And I'll believe whatever the cost. And I have surrendered, and earth is no more. I'll still cling to that old rugged cross. I believe that the Christ who was slain at cross has the power to change lives today. Amen. For he changed me completely. A new life is mine. That is why by the cross I will stay. And I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. And I'll believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to that old rugged cross. I believe that this life with its great mysteries surely someday will come to an end. But faith will conquer the darkness and death and will lead me at last to my friend. And I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. And I'll believe whatever the cost. And time has surrendered and earth is no more. I'll still cling to that old rugged cross. And sing the chorus again. And I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. And I'll believe whatever it costs. And time has surrendered, and earth is no more. I still cling to the old rugged. Oh, amen. You guys sing that so amazing. We could sing the whole thing again as far as I'm concerned. Oh, goodness. Praise the Lord. Please receive the benediction now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And we will sing as a prayer for our nation. God bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her in the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day. Thank you, Jennifer, for filling in. Short notice, beautiful music. Tonight is contemporary at 7 if you want to come back.
Thank you.